This is Fresh Air. In The Alto Nights, a new biographical crime drama directed by Barry Levinson, Robert De Niro plays two leading roles. He stars as both Frank Costello and Vito Genovese, two Italian-American mob bosses who were longtime friends but became rivals in the 1950s. The movie opens in theaters this week, and our film critic Justin Chang has this review.
It's been 10 years since Barry Levinson directed a new feature. And if that seems like a long wait, I should note that it's taken 50 years for The Alto Nights, his new movie, to make it to the big screen. The idea was first pitched in the 1970s, not long after the New York City crime lord Frank Costello, known as the Prime Minister of the Underworld, died at the age of 82. But the film languished in development hell for decades, and only got the green light a few years ago, presumably on the strength of a major casting gimmick. Both Costello and his notorious friend-turned-rival, Vito Genovese, are played by the same actor, Robert De Niro. That's one way to liven up the formula, I suppose. De Niro has played many mobsters in The Godfather Part II, The Untouchables, Goodfellas, and The Irishman, for starters. He's riffing on a lot of those characters in The Alto Nights, which often plays like a hectic rehash of mob drama cliches. It's not entirely the movie's fault. The real-life events it's tackling here are why some of those cliches exist. Frank Costello was the inspiration for the Godfather himself, Don Vito Corleone. The Alto Nights begins with a bang in 1957. Frank, the big boss of the Luciano crime family, is shot in the lobby of his New York apartment building. Frank survives, and knows immediately that it was Vito Genovese who ordered the hit. But he keeps this a secret. He isn't interested in revenge, and he doesn't want to start a mob war. From there, the story flashes back about 50 years, recounting in rapid-fire fashion how young Frank and Vito befriended each other in New York, where they hung out at the Alto Nights Social Club, a hive of gangster activity. Both men became bootleggers during Prohibition, rising through the ranks of the Luciano family. Vito became boss, but fled to Italy to avoid a murder rap. By the time Vito returned years later, after World War II, Frank was in charge of a prosperous criminal empire, protected by paid-off cops and politicians. Most of this backstory passes by in a barely coherent rush, which is a shame. Given his knack for dramas about immigrant experiences and boyhood friendships, in films like Diner, Avalon, and Liberty Heights, Levinson could have teased out something rich from Frank and Vito's early years. But The Alto Nights, which was written by Goodfellas screenwriter Nicholas Pileggi, is eager to race ahead to the tug of war between De Niro and De Niro. Vito, who's violent and irrationally jealous, wants to seize back control of the outfit and turn it into a drug-dealing operation. Frank is trying to cultivate a legitimate, respectable image, and tries to talk Vito out of it.
You're going down a very dangerous road. You know that. And we ain't been down dangerous roads before. All of a sudden, we can't go down dangerous roads.
This is a road that I'm not going down, because you're going to take us all down. This is not the way. You know, it's just a matter of time you're going to get pinched.
But don't forget, you're a racketeer. You're a gangster. Come on. All of a sudden, you want to be half in, half out, half a racketeer. You can't have it both ways. You're either in or you're out. And whether you're half in or half out, that don't mean you ain't going to get caught the same way I could get caught or I could go down. It's the same thing. Come on, don't be naive. We don't control this. Somebody else does it.
This is a death sentence. It's a big, big mistake.
Look, you do what you want. You want to be a diplomat, that's your business. Me? I'm a gangster. I'm a racketeer. That's it. That's it. That's the life.
I'm not sure exactly what the movie gains from having one actor play both roles, unless it's trying to suggest that Frank and Vito are two sides of the same corrupt coin. Whatever the case, De Niro is clearly at home with this gangland material, and it's fun to watch him argue with himself. As Vito, De Niro seems to be channeling Joe Pesci's hothead from Goodfellas, barking and cursing under a layer of prosthetic pancake. As Frank, he smiles, shrugs, and plays it cool. Frank doesn't want any trouble. He just wants to rake in the dough, hobnob with philanthropists and politicians, and spend his nights at home watching TV with his wife, played by a frowny Deborah Messing. They have a loving, stable marriage, unlike Vito and his fiery wife, Anna, played by a very good Catherine Narducci. The Alto Knights doesn't have many more ideas than this good mobster, bad mobster dynamic. The script does pull together a lot of events from the 1950s, including a Senate investigation into interstate crimes, and a historic summit that brought together hundreds of mob bosses from around the country. But the movie doesn't seem to trust its own story. Barely a scene goes by that isn't embellished with popping flashbulbs and giant newspaper headlines, as if Levinson were trying to convince us that we were watching history in the making. Still, De Niro's performances do keep you watching. Or at least one of them does. Vito may be little more than a walking tantrum, but Frank makes for good company. Especially in those moments toward the end, when he seriously considers bowing to Vito and stepping aside. So what if De Niro is playing a sentimentalized version of a ruthless crook? Hollywood gangster movies, even the ones as dubious and derivative as this one, have always known a thing or two about selling us a beautiful lie.
Justin Chang is a film critic for The New Yorker. He reviewed The Alto Knights, starring Robert De Niro. On Monday's show, legal scholar Elie Mystal joins us to talk about the 10 laws he says are ruining America. In his new book, Bad Law, he argues that our country's laws on immigration, abortion, and voting rights don't reflect the will of most Americans, and we'd be better off abolishing them and starting over. I hope you can join us. For Terry Gross and Tanya Mosley, I'm David Biancooley.